The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done for professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 25th day of April, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. Dow up 70 points, S&P up 14, the comp up 55, crude is off about 8 cents, Apple, last time I looked, up about $50 after reporting some really excellent earnings, I guess would be the best way to put that. Apple up $49.55, up almost 9% on the day. So, an apple a day keeps the bears at bay. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
You mentioned earlier in the live trading room that the Fed, it was more like a Fed spread, kind of like a buffet today.
Yeah,
rather than just the normal interest rate numbers, they're going to string it out. Tell us how that works again.
At 12:30, they will be releasing the FOMC statement. At 12:30, they will also release
That's 22 minutes from now?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. Keep going.
At 12:30, they'll also put out the federal funds rate. That is also 22 minutes from now.
Okay.
At 2 p.m. Eastern time, They'll put out the FOMC economic projections, mm-hmm. and at 2:15 Eastern time, at 2, the economic projections, and at 2:15, they're going to put out the FOMC press conference. That is the plan, where normally they would do everything at 2:15.
Yeah.
They just say 2:15, we're going to put out the statement. And the statement
so a little bit of economic history in the making? Is that...
It seems that way. It seems like they're doing something different this time, and I don't know why.
Is it like one of those magic acts, you know, where the pretty girls distract you while the magician is,
probably. Probably.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll watch for that sleight of hand, and so wherever the action is on the screen, guys, look the other way, because that's where they're doing the funny business.
That's it. They're gonna throw all this information out there, and then tell you something different, or something like that. You never know.
Okay.
Pay attention to both hands.
All right. Well. Up day in the markets. Just gave you the numbers. Dow up roughly 70. S&P up 14. Comp up 55. Yesterday, prior to that earnings release from Apple, the markets had a lot of pent-up energy. And I'll show you just real quick here. Okay. Scroll it down. This is the blog, by the way, for those of you who are visiting us for the very first time. Go to CFRN.net on the right-hand side of the page, any page. It says visit our blog. Click it, and you will be transported there instantaneously. If you're only hearing the sound of my voice, not seeing my screen, not seeing my charts, then you need to go to CFRN.net. And on the right-hand side of the page, there is a red, white, and blue click here button underneath the radio tower. Click that. You'll go through a short registration process. You'll be in like Flynn. And every day you'll get an email that says, hey, it's time for the radio show. General reminder, you click it and you're in. You only have to do the registration once per week. So, yesterday, here's what happened. This always reminds me of like a MASH unit or something, because it's like there's all these bandages or something, but they're arrows. I don't know why I get that mental picture here. But it's like a sick patient with all these bandages on him. But anyway, this was the market yesterday. These are weekly trading zones that we provide to our partners every Monday morning prior to the market opening. Okay? But once they're out, they don't change. They're consistent. They stay the same. All right? Yesterday, well, April the 24th, this little line here, this is midnight Chicago time. Price come down, touches the zone to the tick, rallies up to the zone overhead, 5 points away, turns back down for 5 points, turns back up for 5+, turns back down for 5, turns back up for 5. So that was 25 points there, just pinging back and forth, ping, pong, back and forth. Zone to zone to zone to zone. You see that going on, you know, man, this thing's going to break. And when it breaks, it's going to go. And it did. In 1 hour, once it broke, in 1 hour, it made it all the way up to the next zone, which from 70 to 76, that was 6 points away. So there's 31 points of travel here, okay, on an hourly chart, on any chart, any time frame chart. Point is it's going from zone to zone to zone to zone to zone. We expect consolidation. We expect that price can be rejected when it goes up to a zone. Gets back to a zone, it's rejected. To see it ping-pong back this much in 1 day is, I don't know if I want to say unusual, but this was a pretty tight range, only 5 points. But once it came out of the hole, bam, right up to 78.77. And we'll take a look at what happened after that. Here's a bigger picture look at the entire week. Here's Sunday night coming down into Monday. 52.53 was our lowest weekly trading zone for the week. We came within 1 point of hitting that lowest weekly zone on a Monday. Now, when that happens, either we got it incredibly, because it's very rare that prices will travel outside of our weekly zones. Occasionally they do. What's really rare is for price to ever close outside of the weekly trading zones for the week. So I'm watching this thing come down, and we get within 1 point of the zone. So we still have another buffer there with the 1 point, 52 to 53. It's like, this thing doesn't turn up here. We may have gotten it wrong this week. But with 1 point to spare, turns right around, comes back up, gets in this area that you and I just dissected, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, and then it made its run, okay? So what do you see how that works? Because you always hear us talking about the weekly trading zones, what's going on. Here's the recap from last night. There was 39 points maximum potential yesterday on the S&P 500 during the time period I recapped beginning at midnight. If you want to know what that really means, maximum potential, you should go watch the video series. Start with this one, work your way back, or vice versa. Which, that 39 threw some very fair math, I believe. I take it down to 10 realistic points. And actually, you'll watch the video and you'll go, psh, there's more than 10 points there. Okay, good. That's exactly how I want you to respond. Below that, last 3 days, recap of the live trading room. And, of course, a link right here that gets you to this page, which takes you to, what is there, Michael? Is there 180 trading room videos over there?
I'm not even sure how many there's,
I think it's that much, because we go back to August 1st of last year with the video recaps. Okay, now, I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm really done. On the S&P 500, this is the chart that I've been using to do those video recaps for the last however many days. You can see that last trade that I calculated had gone 10.5 points. Now, here's the situation. When I did the recap last night, price had traveled to here. Or to here, okay? 77.25. So that's how I calculated that 10.5. But the truth of the matter is price kept running up to 82. So whatever figure you see when you watch that video, just keep in mind that there's another 5 points there that I'll address it in the video tonight, but that's not even what I want to show you. So the results you see on the video, actually there's 5 points better if you follow through to the end of the trade, but it moves over into the next day. But see, there's not going to be a pullback entry here, so just watch a video tonight and I'll address it, okay? But I want to show you what happened today. People go, well, what happened today? That was yesterday. All right. Two trades today. Well, more than two, but only two that I'm interested in. We're bullish. Coming into the day, we get a pullback, okay? We know that our entry is right here at 77.25, okay? We never risk more than 2 points for a stop. 77.25 to 76.25. There's 1 point of drawdown in this trade, okay? And then price rallies up to 86.75. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, that's 9 points.
I believe that is 9 points, yes.
Okay, guys, 9 points maximum potential in this trade. Does that mean you're going to get 9 points? No. Does it mean there's an opportunity for you to take something out of a 9-point move, whether it's 2 points based on your trading plan or some other thing that you use, the I Ching, I don't know? Yes. Okay. All I'm showing you is with the maximum. Our entry is to the tick, and here's the potential. We then get a bearish cross. Actually, we get a second entry here. This is how I do it on the videos. I show you every single one. That entry came in at 84 and a quarter, and it bounced up to 86. So that was 1 3/4 points. We get a bearish cross. We get a pullback right there to 84. And price drops down to 80.50. So that's going to be a 3.5 point move to the downside. Okay, that's without using any filters, any weekly trading zones, any slingshots, cycles. When I do these videos, I throw everything out. All I'm using is price action. And you say, wait, but that's not just price action because you have those lines on the chart. Those are our fancy reading glasses. And all they do is simply help us clearly define price action and what it's doing to show us where our potential best entries are. Okay? Right there on the screen, really, 3 trade setups today. Since midnight last night on this time frame, any one of them a potential day maker, one of them potentially a week maker. So, with that, Michael, I'm done. It's all yours. Take it away, please.
All right. Let me grab the charts to start with. All right. Everyone should be looking at my charts now. And hang on. Let me slide this over so we can get to the DOM.
Your charts are up.
Charts and DOMs should be showing. All right. I am going to start now. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. Going to go over all the results from the live trading room this morning, the trades we took, the ones we didn't take, the ones we missed, all that stuff on the markets that we traded in. The results are right here. You can see the Russell, I have plus 19 ticks, gold plus 5 ticks. I actually had plus 7, but I had accidentally left an order on there and I lost 2 ticks, so it's plus 5 ticks. YM is plus 5. All right. For anybody who is taking the trial right now, I want to encourage you to become a partner before tomorrow night's partners meeting. For anyone who is a partner, I want to remind you of tomorrow night's partners meeting. If you haven't taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. That's APPLY. And take the free trial. Okay. With that, you will get all the charts and indicators and everything you see here 4 or 5 business days. And then you will have to make a decision whether or not you want to become a partner. All right. That said, let's just start off with the Russell. Okay, I'm showing ES right here, but I meant to show Russell. Hang on a second. Let me slide my Russell chart over. Here it is. Okay, I'll show you the trades that we took on the Russell. You can see down here on the slingshot, I had taken off the S2 and S3 fast lines. I did that just to show someone something in the live trading room this morning. But I'll leave them off for right now. Because we can. All right, this morning when the market opened up, we took our first trade here on the Russell. We had bullish divergence right here. The divergence is when the green line is going in the opposite direction of the cycle. The cycle is the blue and red line down here. All right, we had bullish divergence right here, and we had an up close after testing the BBC. We got long there, took 10 ticks. Over here we had bearish divergence. Price did not get down below, well, price did, but the MA1 did not get down below the BBC, so we weren't looking for anything there. We had more bullish divergence over here. I took this trade, but I moved my stop up pretty quickly because the cycle was headed against us down here, and the MA1 was headed against us up here. All right, so I ended up getting out break even on that trade. Over here, I took another trade. Well, let me just first go into the bearish divergences. It was right here. bearish divergence. The MA1, which is the red and blue line, crossed down below the BBC, which is the green line. Price moved up and had a down close right there, back in the direction of the momentum and the longer-term direction. So there was a short opportunity there. It was followed up with another one right here. We still had the same divergence right there. All right, so there was another opportunity right there to get into that short move right there. I missed it. I did take this long one over here. Okay, I think I lost one tick on this. That put me at plus 9, and I got 10 back on this one. That put me at plus 19. That gave us the plus 19 on the morning. All right, but you can see there were more opportunities. I did take this trade. We had bullish divergence. We had an up close right here. I got long, and I took 10 ticks profit. Over here, there were more opportunities, but price was going right into the weekly trading zone, so we weren't looking at anything right in this area. Okay. This box is on here. I was explaining something to the folks in the live trading room this morning. Become a partner. Get into the live trading room, and I'll explain it to you. Right here, we had some bearish divergence. Okay. Bearish divergence right here. We tested the BBC. We had the down close, and down it went. All right, let's see, moving on. We're right in here at the end of the morning session. We had bullish divergence. Price pulled back, tested the BBC with an up close, and it moved up. All right, right now we have bullish divergence. Price is testing the BBC. It's moving up, but it's going right into the weekly trading zone. So we are not looking to get long right here, okay? We don't trade into the zones. And thus we'll reach our profit target before we get to the zone. Anyway, they gave us plus 19 ticks this morning. Now, gold was a little bit complicated this morning, all right? One thing I wanted to point out to people, I pointed out to the folks in the live trading room this morning, is that the hour before the market opens, usually, gold is pretty tradable at that time. You can see right here, this was 8:34 Eastern time. Okay, so that's an hour before the market's open. Okay, that's an hour before the... I just saw your question there, Bruce. This is an hour before the market open. So we're looking right here for the bearish divergence, which we had. I tested the BBC and the down close, and it went down nicely. Same thing here. Tested the BBC and the down close, and it went down again. Over here again, tested the BBC with the down close, and it went down again. Now, all that happened in 20 minutes or so. You could have been up 30 points before the market even opened. Well, not 30 points, but 30 ticks before the market even opened. That happens quite often. Okay, I just wanted to point that out to all of our partners. All right, here was another one that was actually pre-market right here. We had bullish divergences in here. Okay, bullish divergence here. This one didn't go anywhere. This one right here did, if you're still looking at the pre-market stuff. Right here we had an up close with the bullish divergence down here. We had bullish divergence right here with an up close. It was held in by the MA1. Pushed down, so if you stopped out there, you could have taken it again right here and got your money right back. over here, it didn't actually pull back far enough to test the BBC before it moved up. Okay. Now, in here, we had the bearish cross, the pullback up, and the down close right here. Okay. The pullback up to the BBC and the down close. We closed down, and we had the bearish divergence. Price moved down. Again, same thing right there. Big move down on that one. Over here, price moved up. This was gold, okay? Just reminder to you all, this is gold. Over here, the price moved up and we had bullish divergence. I'm sorry, it moved down. We had bullish divergence. It tested the BBC, gave an up close, and it was held in. I lost on that trade, 9 ticks. All right, the next trade right over here, I lost. Did I lose 9 ticks on that? I don't think I lost 9 ticks. Actually, I lost 7 on this one, and I lost 7 on this one. I think that's what happened. Same thing right here. I didn't take this trade, but right here we had bullish divergence. We had an up close. It went a little bit in my favor, and then it came back and stopped me out. All right. Over here, we had bullish divergence. I took the long trade after the test of the BBC and the up close. It went about 9 ticks in my favor, but it didn't. I didn't. Take any profit on it. I moved my stop up to break even, and it stopped me out here at break even. All right, over here you can see we had bearish divergence. Price came up, tested the BBC with the down close right there, and it moved down strongly. We had another one over here. This moved about six or seven ticks in my favor, and I had moved my stop up to plus a tick or two, and it stopped me out at plus a tick or two. I missed this little move. I got this over here for five or six ticks. We had a down close right there, all right, with the bearish divergence. I took the down close, and I took five or six ticks on that. This one right here was the big winner on the day for me because I was still down on the day right over here. I think I was down about 14 ticks at this point over here. And right here, I don't have a target on the gold right now. I just have a stop. Okay. Right here, I got short at 38.3. Price pulled up, tested the BBC with the bearish divergence, and I shorted right here at the close. Okay. I put my order on at 38.3. I filled on this bar right over here, by the way. And I got short, and then it just fell right off my dom. And when it moved way down there, I just put in a I put in a buy stop to get me out of the trade, all right, and that did get me out. I think it was plus 21 ticks is what I got on that one. That put me positive. Then I didn't realize that I still had my stop order on there, and so when I had this big run-up over here, it hit my stop order because I had put a buy stop on down here to get out of the trade. But my buy stop was still active, and it hit that over here. And when I heard the bell ding in my headset, I ended up losing two ticks on that. Okay, it wasn't a buy. It was the stop to get me out of the trade. I ended up losing two ticks on it. However, it was, I think it was a buy, but I ended up losing two ticks on it. Anyway, you can see how price over here in the time that Dwayne was talking here, we had bearish divergence right here, okay, and the down close right there, bearish divergence again right there, and the down close right there. You guys seeing a pattern here? Bearish divergence right there, and the down close right there. All right, there was divergence here, but the cycle's headed up too much. The MA1's headed up, and the cycle's headed up, so you probably don't want to get involved in it. It worked out. But right now, it looks like it's going to retrace some. Actually, this move right here is a retracement on this move up, if you look at it that way. All right. 12:30 is coming at us here pretty well right now. It's coming at us. So we have big news coming out right now. All right. Let's see. So I've gone through the Russell. I've gone through the gold. The YM. Let me just cover the YM. And I took a couple of trades on the YM this morning. It's not to say that there were not more trades. It's just what I did. We were up here in the zone for a little while. Okay? But we had bullish divergence over here. This was right at the open. We had bullish divergence over here. We tested the BBC with an up close right there. But the cycle is going against us here, and the cycle is going against us here. So I didn't enter that trade. All right, price got down below it right here. We had some bearish divergence with a down close right here. All right, I don't know if you guys can see that well enough. I'll blow it up a little. Whoosh, that was a lot. All right, anyway, we had the bearish divergence here and the down close after testing the BBC right there. It did drop down there. I didn't take that. I think I didn't fill on it. I tried to put it on at 30.34, but it didn't fill me, and that dropped 11 points. All right, we had bullish divergence in here, tested the BBC with an up close. I was going right into the zone, so we weren't going to take any trades in there. I did take a short over here. I took a little bit of profit on it. Once price closed down below the MA1 right here, I moved my stop to right above the MA1 because once it gets below there, it shouldn't get back above there until you hit your profit target. And you can see that it did. These support dots are printing right here that also made me want to lock in some profit. So I did lock in profit there. Okay, this was the next trade that I took over here. You can see we had the bearish divergence right there. I wasn't taking any long trades in here, okay, going into the zone. The MA1's below the BBC. Price pulled back, tested the BBC. We had a down close. I shorted, and that was the trade. There were more of them in here just in the last, you know, this was the break right here. But there were more trading opportunities in here with all these divergences, you see, there, and there, and here. All right, all the entries on those would have been right there on the down close, right there on the down close, and right here on the down close. All right, those would have been the entries on the YM. As it were, we are plus 5 ticks on the YM. We did have more than 5 ticks profit in the day while we were in live trades, but that's what we ended up getting. All right, you see right here it's starting to put in some bearish divergence, so we would look for a pullback up to the BBC with a down close. The FOMC stuff is starting to impact the markets right here. You can see.
Fed rates unchanged.
Down. Yep.
Fed expects growth to remain. Hang on, and I'll give us a little volume and see if there's anything of interest.
Federal Reserve plans to continue holding interest rates steady until late 2014.
Is that how you read it from listening to Hanson? Because gold is moving.
So I would explain this as when the Oxford English Dictionary is looking for an example of the word tweak, that's what I would put in here.
All right. I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to wrap up the recording right here. You can see right
here
on the Russell.
You still had the recorder running.
You can see right here on the Russell we have some bearish divergence offering a possible short trade. We have bullish divergence here on the gold, offering a possible long trade if we test the BBC. Okay, I'm going to just stop the recording here on that. Again, a reminder to everyone who is not a partner, partners meeting tomorrow night at 9 p.m., every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, everybody who is a partner, a reminder, partners meeting. All right, the recording is off.
Sorry about that.
All right, so that's all right. The Federal Reserve plans to continue holding interest rates steady until late 2014. There's the gold move. There was the up close after testing the BBC. The Russell just stopped out if you would have taken that. Gold is moving up. The YM doesn't have anything. The NQ doesn't have anything. Crude. I didn't cover crude. This is just for everyone who's in here, and it's not going on the recap. But we had crude came out at 10:30 this morning as well. We had more news events prior to the FOMC stuff this morning too. It was all bad news. Okay, right there would have been the entry on the crude. Now, for everybody who's in here just watching, what I want you to recognize here is that we're doing the same thing, the same setup across all these different markets. We're doing the same exact thing. Okay, we're not changing setups at all. It's one simple setup. You only need to really understand that one, and that's it. See gold right there, gold right there, and now it's got bullish divergence, and it's jumping around too much to trade. Okay, if you were looking at the gold DOM right now, there'd probably be a spread. Yeah, there is a little spread. It's trading really thin.
It's tanking pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going down.
It was down $14 a second ago.
All right. And right in here, if you were able to trade it, watch right in here for the down close. There's the down close. There's the bearish divergence. But I'm not suggesting anybody trade right now. I would say just sit on your hands and wait. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to trade the rest of the day. And I would recommend that to everyone else. Just hold off because they spread this thing out, you know, at least till about 3 o'clock Eastern time.
Fed sees inflation at or below target level. but yeah, there's more to come. Fed to continue extending maturity of securities. Please refrain from asking me what that means. Thank you very much. Gold down $14.90. Gold down $15 even.
It's really tanking right now. Gold just dropped another $3. You see, it's funny. Jason just texted me and said, now I see why you don't put a target on the gold. Because if you shorted up here on the gold short right here, you know, you definitely would have gotten filled. And without a target, from right here at 16, we'll just call it 16:30 even, it dropped all the way down to 16:25. That's $500 in about a minute. $500 a contract in about a minute.
then if you were on the wrong side of that trade, you would have lost $500 in a minute if you didn't have a stop. So see, not having a target, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. Okay, there are some who would go. I won't even have that discussion right now. But while you can trade without a target, a hard target, a physical target, you must never, ever, ever, under any condition, trade without a hard stop. Please.
Right.
I beseech you, my brethren, don't do it. It will only bring you grief and turmoil and stuff.
What I've taken to doing with the gold is, instead of dragging my stop around, you know, let's say I'm short and I have a buy stop in, you know, 10 ticks away or 8 ticks away, because I use an 8 by 10 bracket usually. Or an 8 tick stop anyway is what I use on the gold. But let's say I get into a trade and it really starts to drop. Instead of trying to scroll back up, find my stop and drag it down, I'll just put a buy stop in, you know, wherever I feel comfortable in the area that I can see on the Dom. You know what I mean? This is what you're looking at on the Dom. And let's say you're short from way up here and price is down here and your stop is somewhere way up here out of view. You could always just put a buy stop in, like right there. Oops. Not that I want to do that right now because price is jumping around so much, but you could always just put a buy stop in, which is the equivalent of dragging your stop around. Now you got to make sure you have enough margin in your account to cover that, because that's going to require another, whatever the margin is. I think with gold for day trading, I think it's, I don't know, 3,000 or 1,500 or something like that. Right, you can see right here we had bullish divergence. Test the BBC, up close, and up it goes. Over here we had bearish divergence. It tested the BBC, but it went flying right through it. Over here we had a little bit of bearish divergence. It tested the BBC and dropped on the down close. Over here, same thing. Over here, the same thing. So in, what is it, Jason just said, in 15, it's, gold is down 15 points in a very short amount of time. Yeah, like this move right here, right at the news event. If you would manage to get into that without a target on it, where gold dropped from 15 points in 15 seconds is what he said. Right there. That's $1,500 a contract if you were short on that. Okay. Now, you would have had to have been short ahead of time.
And keep in mind that, you know, in that 15-second move, you got to get out of it before it reverses and goes back the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You better cash that check quick.
Yep. You got to have your finger right on the trigger on that one. Say, exit at market and cancel. That's what you want to do. Exit at market and cancel. That will get you out at the market, and it will cancel all open orders for you.
Gold swinging the other way a little bit now. Be curious as the day unfolds and they give us some more information. We'll see. We'll see how they break it down and explain, and well, then somebody will come up with a really smart reason why gold tanked on basically no news. They said we aren't going to change the interest rate. That was not unexpected. I think that was very much expected. Yep. And they plan to keep the rates exceptionally low at least through 2014. Now.
Okay. We didn't get the up close over here to get into the long trade. We tested the BBC with some bullish divergence, but it went away. Over here, we got the up close. All right. There's an up close, but we're in the wrong spot.
Reminder, guys, to take the free trial, piece of cake, cfrn.net/apply. And I didn't realize that some people might not know how to spell apply, but Michael was kind enough to spell it out for you earlier today. That's APPLY. Basically, if you go to CFRN.net on the homepage, there's so many things screaming at you. Click me, click me. Just click the one that says free trial, and that'll walk you through the process. It's really quite simple. There's no credit card required, a real name and a real email address. Oh, and also, as you go through the process, it will require a real phone number, too. Not because we want to bug you, but because we want to have people who are legitimate. Okay. See, if you don't have a legitimate email address or phone number, then you're not serious about this. And the thing is the people who come into our live trading room on the free trial, we want to make sure that those people are really serious about learning how to trade. Whether they ultimately become a partner or, you know, with us, that's not what we're trying to qualify. We're just trying to qualify that you're serious about learning. Because, number one, we don't want you to be disruptive. We won't even allow that. But number two, we don't want to take away time from someone who really is interested about learning how to trade. We don't want to take time away from them answering mindless questions from someone who, you know, is just there on a lark, you know. So, I'm just saying, it's free. You don't need a credit card. But we, you know, go aggravate somebody else if you're just looking for somebody that, because we're really nice people, see. So, but if you want to come and hang out with really nice people, take the free trial. You'll get 5 consecutive trading days in the live trading room. Does that mean you can start on a Thursday? Yes. You don't have to wait till Monday. You can come in on a Thursday. You'll still get 5 consecutive trading days. Beauty of coming in midweek is that you get to use the platform over the weekend. You have the charts. You have the indicators. You have all the tools. You get a lot. You still get 5 trading days, but you get like 2 bonus days of having the platform, the indicators, and you can tinker around and look at this and look at that. So, my suggestion is if you've never taken the free trial, go do it now. If you took it at some point in the past, more than 6 months ago, and you didn't pay attention, or you didn't really see the value, or you were distracted, but now you've, you know, had a change of heart and you really do want to learn more, send an email to secondchance@cfrn.net. We'll grant you a second chance. Again, once per 6 months, you know, in all fairness. If you're already on the free trial, there is a partners meeting tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay? Those are always good. Good stuff happens. I encourage you to be there. Partners only, though. If you're on the free trial, you can't come to the partners meeting. That's the only thing you don't get to participate in. If you're on the free trial, man, you get the weekly trading zone. You get everything, okay, except the partners meeting. So those of you, if your free trial is expiring, then you need to respond to the email you've received. And if you haven't received the email, email us support@cfrn.net. And Michael will get the paperwork over to you today so that you can get signed up and be in that partners meeting tomorrow night. All right? Anything else, Michael?
I know we're running a little late, but I just wanted to say one quick thing. You know, you would mention the stuff about the emails and the phone numbers and how we really, you know, if you're going to sign up for the trial, give us a real phone number and a real email. We're not going to bother you with 100 phone calls. There was one guy who actually gave me the number that he put down. I didn't realize it until I had called it, was a number for information in some state. And that really aggravated me because when I'm calling on my cell phone, it costs me $1 every time I call information. Actually, $2 every time I call information. So not only did he put a bogus phone number in there, but he put in a phone number that cost me money. Mm. Don't do that kind of thing. Because...
And folks, I know this is a Christian radio station, but don't think for a minute that we didn't take care of that guy. Because
yes.
We did.
Yes. All right, that's it. I'm done.
All right, guys, we're going to Vegas. See David Williams, PageTrader.com. Stay with us.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Thank you very much, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
Well, pleasure to be here today.
Good to have you with us, sir. How'd your webinar go yesterday?
It was nice. We had a nice some new people that had come in, which I'm very happy to see. This was for people who may not know, this was for Reflected Wave, which is our Turning Point methodology. So it went well, and I was very happy to talk to some new names and faces. And I like it when people ask questions and, show the kind of interest that tells me that people have been in the markets for a while and have seen enough to ask a little bit more poignant questions about the potential for them utilizing this methodology in their trading. So we had a nice time. It was good. And it was the longest one we've ever had. It was an hour and a half.
Wow.
And I didn't have any intention of having it that long, and I want to apologize, for it going that long. It just went that long, and I looked up and I realized, good Lord, that's too long to ask people to stay on. But
I had no idea you could talk for an hour and a half.
I know. It's surprising. It seems like I've always been sort of stunted in that area. And I'm just talking.
I had a guy that has a deal, and he does a webinar, and he'd been after me for a long time to come to, hey, would you just come, kind of check it out, review it for me, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I went. And he goes, when he opened it up, he goes, well, I see we got a room full of people, and that's great. He goes, and what's really great is I actually see like three new faces.
Yeah.
He goes, and then he just said it in front of everybody. He goes, what is it with you guys? You show up here every week for this thing. Don't you have anything else to do? I say the same thing every week. I never change. But you guys come. You don't sign up for my deal. You don't do the thing. You just come. He goes, and I'm not trying to run you off. I'm genuinely curious. So now let me address the three new guys.
Well, I was just going to say that in some ways I'm kind of like those people myself, because if I'm interested in something, I will just watch again. I can imagine myself in that position, but basically doing the same things these people are doing. Maybe I'm interested. Maybe I am considering going to the seminar or going to whatever the thing is. And I will show up again and again to see if there's any cracks in the armor or if somebody asks a question that, helps me to believe more. Because, these things take time. They take money. In our particular case, people have to travel. Sometimes it's not a short trip to Las Vegas. We have people that have come to these seminars literally from many, many, many faraway places, from Iraq, from Australia, from Germany, from Poland, from Switzerland. I mean, we've had people from a long distance away where you're flying in an airplane for, 22 hours to come. And so these are decisions that are not made lightly. So I think what people do is they kind of want to just re-show up and show up and just see, see if there's a chink in the armor, mm-hmm. see if there's something they might have missed, see if there's something that's going to really confirm for them what they, that this is right for them, that sort of thing. I think I'm the kind of guy that would do that. I would be one of the guys that shows up time and time again, and they might even make fun of me. I'll tell you this. Many years ago, in fact, I know I'm that guy, and I'll tell you why, and here's my little story. Many years ago, in 1997, I was interested, if you can kind of put yourself back into 1997. At that time, Lexus had just come out with, you know, Lexus was really hot back then. They really were on fire. They were, you know, Toyota.
That was before everybody figured out they were just a Toyota.
Hey, it's just a Toyota. no, but they really are a fabulous car.
Yeah,
and
they are good.
They
cars,
were really doing great things. I know you're just saying that. But anyway, so there was a dealership here in town, and I was seriously thinking about getting, at that time, the model was a GS 400, and that was their four-door sedan with a V8. And it's not a, really a performance car, so to speak, but at that time, it was a pretty quick car, and it was really luxurious and nice. It was just a really nice, reliable car. So I was seriously thinking about it, but to be honest with you, I don't, you know, I don't just spend, you know, just on an impulse. And so I had gone to the dealership to look at the car, look at their pricing, and I went back probably, and to be honest with you, it probably was five or six times. And probably on the sixth time, one of the sales managers came out, and he very sarcastically made some comment about the fact that I had been there so many times and hadn't bought. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but in layman's terms, it really pissed me off. Because here I am going there to, you know, feel the thing, sort of put my hands on it and say, is this something I really want? And just because I required those six times to come back to just look, this guy was angry at seeing me with the same kind of line that you're talking about. Like, hey, you know, what are you doing here? And I, you know what I did? I got in my car, and on the very next weekend, I drove to Oxnard, California, and bought the car from California. Because the guy shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have. I drove my car to their dealership. I got out of my car to look at their product. You should be happy to see me, even if you've seen me 10 times. And you certainly shouldn't be sarcastically sort of whipping me about showing up. And so I am that guy. I really am. I'm the guy that shows up several times before I make a decision.
So when you bought the car, did you drive it back to the original lot and ask the guy if he liked the car?
I did better than that. I serviced the car there because they were the only Lexus dealer in town. This was Fletcher Jones Lexus. And I serviced the car there. And I saw the sales manager, and he looked over. He saw the car at some point after I'd been servicing it, and he knew that car wasn't sold there. You know, and I wasn't going to rub it into him. I'm not going to lower myself to people's levels in order to get back at them. I don't need to get back at people. Number one, people, you know, you never have to seek revenge on anybody. I hereby, you know, release you from ever thinking you have to search out and get revenge on anybody, because people will mess themselves up worse than you could ever. Not that you should rely on that and get satisfaction out of that, but it's just a fact that people will run themselves into the ground doing their little thing, the thing they did to you. They'll do it to themselves somehow in some way. But you don't have to stoop down and shouldn't stoop down. And the part of you that wants to stoop down is just the part that vibrates at their level. And I didn't even want to, you know, was there a part of me that wanted to drive in and say, oh, hi, yeah, no, I just picked this up in California, yeah. There was a part of me that wanted to do that, but I've learned, and even back then, this was 12 years, whatever ago, I even knew back then that it was better just to say nothing and just to bring my car there and just let the thing go on. You know, the lesson is even more powerful when it's not verbal. You know, just the quietness, just the, you know, okay, he knows what happened. He knows exactly what he did to get that response. And I'm just saying, I'm the guy that comes back time and time again, like many, many people with our seminars and webinars, and I don't have anything against them because I have done and will continue to do the same thing. I check it out time and time and time again. And that's kind of why I don't ever really expect people to just impulse buy. Some people do, as an example, to go to the seminar. Some people, and they just say, hey, I like it. I like what I saw. I'm going. And that's beautiful, and that's fair enough. But I really do understand the people that want to see it over and over again. Because I've lived that my whole life. I want to see it over and over again, and that's just how I am. So, you know, your guy, you know, probably has learned that lesson as well, that there's people that do that.
As far as the revenge thing, yeah, it's not good. Love your enemy, it says.
Yeah.
St. Francis of Assisi said once, and then somebody wrote it down, and then a lot of people have repeated it as years have gone by. He said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. See, it's your actions. They truly do speak louder than words.
There you are. That's right.
You can just yak your head off and talk, and it goes in one ear and out the other. People, they look at you and nod, and they act like they're listening. But it's just talk. What they're really doing, they're pretending to listen, but what they're really doing is watching. They're watching to see how you live out your life, because that's how they're going to measure you. Not by what you say, but by what you do.
And there you are. Well said.
Now, please pass the offering plate, and we can get out of here. No,
all right.
Just kidding. All right. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? Other than the president, other than our taxes being too high, other than the benefits of owning an electric car, what else you got in your bag of tricks there, Mr. Williams?
You've cut my arms and legs off there. What kind of program is this? I'd love to talk about the markets.
The Fed did have their little thingamajig, and they've done it differently today. Michael, could you recap for us again the Fed buffet, how they've spread it out before us? Or are you gone?
It doesn't sound like Michael's there.
That man flew the coop. Okay, I see my thing blinking over here, so probably says I'm leaving. Yep, he had to leave.
Okay.
A dog emergency. He mentioned to me his dog was sick. Or maybe it's his father-in-law's dog. Okay. All right, so he's gone. So anyway, they did a thing just now at 12:30 where they said we're not going to change the rates. But then they're going to do something else at, I don't know, 2 o'clock. And then they're going to do yet another thing at 2:15. And Bernanke is going to do a press conference. Somebody in the audience will possibly type in the schedule, but you know how we're used to in the past, it's just you get a deal at 2:15 and that's it. But today they're really spreading it out. We don't know what it is they're trying to distract us from actually seeing, but that's how it feels.
You know they are.
Look at Apple up $48 today, David.
I know, and I want to tell you something that we sold puts. I don't remember if we mentioned the weekly low on Apple, but it coincided with the weekly low. This is reflected wave in S&P, and so we had a very nice and will have a very nice trade based off of this, and this will be in our statements when we show them, you know, when we update them next time. This is just a great example of the principle that we've talked about, where we look for the S&P. What we do in our own trading is we look for the S&P as an example. You can use the YM or the Dow, depending on which stocks you're trading in. But we look at the S&P for turning points on reflected wave on longer term. And then to diversify the risk, we go out and find stocks that are in that same position, and a number of them, and good volume and liquidity, and we sell the options on those stocks. We did that with Apple. We've done it with hundreds. I mean, I showed our statement yesterday, and there's got to be a couple hundred trades in there since May of last year. Lots, and the majority of them are all puts, because the majority of all the big signals were as bottoms, so that the market would be going higher. And so I hope people understand what we're saying. You could go into the S&P or the index that you're following and simply sell puts on that. But we have found over the years that we do better by diversifying the viewpoint across a number of stocks. That means once in a while we're going to pick a bottom that bounces a little bit, but that stock really intended on going lower later. And so we either get stopped out with a loss or a break even, or maybe, you know, if we're lucky, a small gain. But the majority of all, and if you take a look at the statement, the majority of all those trades end up profitable. And I can't speak for the future. I can speak for what we did, you know, starting from May of last year, when we really started in heavily again with the put and call selling. So by diversifying across a bunch of stocks based on one large bottom being put in the index, it allows you to, A, diversify, and B, there are some of those stocks are going to move much better than others, and you're gonna catch the runner. You're going to have something that really, really moves. And in option selling, it's never going to get any better than what you collected in premium. So if you collected 3 points in premium, just, you know, as an example, even if the stock does move really well, you're never going to earn more than 3 points. But it does give you the opportunity of holding all the way perhaps till expiration and that sort of thing. When it came to Apple, this was truly a no-brainer because Apple is so strong, and this is the first weekly pullback we've had for a long time. I think the last one was back in November of last year. So this is another example of what Reflected Wave does, is it calls pullbacks. Really, this is one of the many things it does that I really like to use it for. It calls pullbacks in an existing uptrend or downtrend very nicely to the bar and gives you an opportunity to either sell or buy that particular index, that stock, or diversify across a whole group like what we do. And so, Apple had a real nice thing. This is a stock that's going to continue. Before they take Apple down hard, before all that beautiful rally gets ended, there's going to be all kinds of consolidation and back and forth up there, which is going to, be early signal, at least I believe, for that stock getting ready for a larger move on the downside. Now, having said all that, if you're going to cut me off from talking about the electric car, I do kind of want to say something about the electric car, but if you don't want me to, I guess I'll just wait.
Nah, go ahead. If it's burning
okay.
in your soul.
It is burning. I just have to say this, and then I promise I'll get right to the stuff. Okay, here's the deal. The Volt is a hybrid car. It's electric for the first 40 miles, pure, and then it switches over to a gas generator, and that lets you continue driving without any interruption. The gas generator, the EPA says, will give you 37 miles per gallon. But over the last several months of owning the car, I think we got it in January, I've noticed the few times that I've been on the gas generator that when you're on the gas generator, you would expect the gas generator to be running the car at all times. But the gas generator stops when the car stops. When you take off, when you've burned your battery out, you're done with your battery. You've gone through your 40-plus miles. And when you start from a stop, if you're like in a parking lot and driving under 15 miles an hour, the thing never, you're on the battery. You never start the generator. It never turns on. Then if you get out in traffic, sometimes it'll let you drive up to 25, 30 miles an hour on the battery, even though the battery is completely burned out. Well, what this does is it's basically acting more like a Toyota Prius. It's switching between the battery and the gas engine rather than just running the generator on the gas engine. And the net effect of all this is that effectively the Volt is in reality getting closer to 45 to 47 miles per gallon when you're on the gas generator, not 37. And the reason it's getting all that is because when you're driving the car on the gas generator and you coast or put your feet on the brake, that puts energy back into the battery and the car utilizes that energy. It was derived from gasoline originally, so it's not considered battery, but you are on the battery after having derived it from the gasoline. So in a sense, really, you're getting like 47 miles per gallon, 45 miles per gallon, because you're switching between the battery and the engine. I don't know why GM doesn't make note of this, because you're not directly on the gas generator. It's more like you're switching back and forth between the gas engine and the battery, and that switching saves you gasoline, and therefore your gas mileage goes way up. So I didn't know this at first because I've only been on the gas engine, for 3.3 gallons, but I've noticed it recently, and I went on the internet, and I found other people in blogs that have reported the same thing, that they're getting 45 to 47 miles per gallon on the gas engine because it's actually switching back and forth between gas and battery, even though the battery's burned out, the battery's been gone through. So I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it's another little additional thing that makes an extra nice little thing. When you switch over to the gas, you still have a really high mileage car. So there you are. There's my little bit. Want me to get on to the markets now, Dwayne?
Sure.
Okay. Just had to let people know about that. Guess you can kind of tell I'm a little happy about that car. I really do. I just adore it. It's just been a blast to drive around in that thing. You people will see. I'm like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future on the stage playing you know, Johnny Be Good, and looking at the crowd and saying, you kids are going to love this, but later. So you guys remember that, right? The scene? All right, I'll shut up. I'll move on. Okay, the S&P. Let's talk about the S&P. For several weeks on your program, we've been talking about the forecast weekly bottom for the S&P, and especially since this week would, in time, would based on time, of course, constitute the 1 week late, that the S&P is going to have a multi-week advance. The actual low came on the week of April 9th. The reflected wave bottom was due on the week of April 16th. So it came 1 week early. And we've forecast on your program that the very first place this market's going to run right to is 1393, 1394. That's the first place they're going to go to off the weekly chart. So we're not there yet, but that's the first place on the upside. So we've had further confirmation today of the weekly bottom. This, again, we have sold puts in different stocks based on this, and our updated statements at the end of this month when we have our seminars and webinars, we'll show them and you can take a look at what we've done. So really nothing big to add except that the market has is and has continued to confirm this bottom, and there is still money to be made on the upside if a person wants to. The reason we do the puts and the calls and that sort of thing is because it's much easier to manage a large number of positions or a small number of positions because they don't move tick for tick. It's a different kind of trade qualitatively. It feels different to be in those, and it's not quite as scary as being in a futures position. And some people get high on the fear of trading in the futures market. They like the feeling, the agitation, and the feeling of being in the market with risk. I actually enjoy the feeling somewhat of being in the market with regard to that. I mean, if I was honest, but I also enjoy the feeling of knowing that there's a great deal of confirmation, you know, that has occurred that at least in my viewpoint, the market is going to confirm and go the direction that we think it's going to go. I like that feeling as well. But some people really get high on just feeling, knowing that they're at great risk. It feels good to them because there's the potential for a great reward, but there's also the potential with great risk. You shouldn't have to ever take great risk in the market. The whole phrase "great risk" shouldn't even be in your verbal. You know, it shouldn't be something that you're doing in the market unless you really want to be a wildcatter trader, somebody who really takes high risk for the possible high reward. That will age you faster than being the president of the United States will. Trading that way will age you. So it might feel good. It might be sort of like crack cocaine, but it does take the life force out of you. And it's probably, in my opinion, it definitely is much wiser to trade in the way that we've described, which is make less money with more certainty. And if there really was a phrase that covered my style, that would be it. Less money with more certainty. So the S&P has moved up. We've hit some important levels today on the upside, the 87 levels in our support and resistance panel. And right above that, we have, basically the 87.88. I think you mentioned that earlier today yourself. That's a level that is going to be, that we would expect a reaction off of. We've already had that reaction. And then we had a reflected wave bottom that we had a trade on long on just a little while back here. That bottom is still being confirmed, or still has been confirmed, even though they spiked on this bar with the news coming out. The market
actually
is still
our number overhead is 89.90. Right. I had to correct that. Thank you for catching it. Yeah, it's 82.83. Oh, wait, yeah. You know, I got... here, let me fix it, because I know somebody sitting out there going, I'm confused. Okay, don't be. I'll straighten it out for you. There we go. There we go. Okay. Now we're good. Now we get a chance to run at 89.90. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Good. Well, that's basically the S&P. We're continuing to confirm. These are longer-term indications. Obviously, the weekly is a longer-term indication, and the market is now confirming that. So let's move over to the gold market, if you would, Duane.
Okay.
And let's just review. A few weeks back, we had said that if the market cannot close, if it closes below 1662 on the week of April 9th, then the market will want to go down to 1613 into the week of April 30th. Now, today, the market has broken to new lows in gold. This is the June gold. And we've gotten down to about 1625. So we so far have come within about 12 points of getting, we're heading towards that target. And then we're looking for a very important bottom to occur. So this is actually a two-step trade. We're looking for the market to fail at 62 and run down to 1613. We're looking for the market at the end of this month, or into next week, which is the end of this month, to put in a very important bottom, and then a multi-week advance off that bottom. And that will be something that we're going to put in our Messenger Pro as well for people who want to trade that. So nothing new to add to gold. This is simply, this is a good example, really, of how news, like today, they came out with the Fed interest rate or the Fed news and et cetera. That actually helps drive the market to these distant targets. People often say to us, well, you know, if you have a reflected wave bottom and then the Fed comes out and does something, doesn't that, you know, wreck it? Can't that wreck it? And the answer is that in the vast majority of cases, it's the very thing that makes the reflected wave bottom occur. It's the very thing that makes it work, just the same way that, you know, this forecast has been out there for weeks, and now here's the news, and it's the very thing that's driving gold prices lower to complete this particular target. Now, we also had the same forecast, or a very similar forecast, for silver. And silver is also in the same cycle, is going to bottom next week, and we'd forecast that with silver breaking below 31.51, that it would decline down to 29.75. Today's low, silver's had a big move down today. Today's low has been 29.92, so 92 minus 75. We've missed it by about 17 cents so far. We have into next week for them to complete that bottom. Again, that's a good example of news coming out. Silver was really quiet, and then now news comes out and drives the price to the target. That's how it normally works. And news itself, this is why I don't believe in the world of, you know, the random events, is because news itself has to come along at the right time in order to give the market the impetus to move to these levels in many cases, in most cases. The market also is very technical by nature and can, by its own technical positioning, force the market to go to particular levels without any particular news, and that happens all the time as well. But when you get these bigger setups, like as an example, the crude oil and things like that, where the move is really effectively a crash, something fundamental in most cases is going to be associated, news-wise, fundamentally, is going to be associated with that big move. It's not just going to be purely technical. Now, we've had purely technical crashes before. The crash of 1987 is one such crash. There was a whole commission done, you know, a report that was done, several of them actually, a presidential commission report done on the crash of 87. Some of you may know about this. And they really just don't know why it happened. There was no really big news, there was no big anything about why the market would need to go do what it did. But the markets are, I don't want to use the word, but fractal by nature. And sometimes they set up in such a way that a purely technical move is set up to happen on a very, very large scale. And so it's purely technical, and it just occurs. The market, you know, had to drop up for back then. There was a huge move down in a single day or just a few days. It moved even more than that. And that reset everything and, you know, starts a whole new cycle up from those lows. So the crash of 87 was. It's really laughable now when you think back, because if you do remember back in 1987 and 88 and 89 when they came out with the report blamed program trading the crash was due to program trading. And that back then, program trading was new. It wasn't really something that had been around for very long. And they looked to that as an excuse for why the market crashed. Now, program trading is one of the largest functions or features of the market. There's enormous program trading going on, to say nothing of the quant funds that are snipping in and out of the market at light speed. You know, they're getting in and getting out with one tick 1,000 times a minute. And not to say anything of the hedge funds and other funds that are moving money in and out of the markets purely by program trading. So we have an enormous amount of program trading, and the market still acts normally, even now. So we know that the crash wasn't due to program trading. In my opinion, it was a purely technical move. The market, it's just like an earthquake. You know, you could start an earthquake, possibly, by setting off an explosion. That explosion would be the fundamental thing. That's the news. And that fundamental thing rocks the earth and makes an already vulnerable set of tectonic plates, you know, move, and that triggers an earthquake. So that's news triggering an event. But the earth can quake by itself because the earth has its own nature. It doesn't require an explosion. And so sometimes no external thing is necessary. The earth is just sitting there, and at some point on its own timetable, the earth quakes. And it has this big move, the plates shift. That would be purely technical, in a sense, when the markets make a big move purely technically. So it can be fundamentally caused. It can also be internally caused. Just the market itself has its own crashes and recoveries that are not necessarily always connected to these events, you know, news events. But in most cases, the larger the move, in most cases, the more likely there's going to be big news associated with it. So today's move in the market and this reflected wave reversal we had, you know, in the mid-morning here that caused the market to go higher, that was all tied to news coming out right as the reflected wave bottom was being put in. So this is a good example of that principle at work. Okay, so let's move on past the gold and the silver. Any question on gold or silver? Because we've been talking about this repeatedly for, you know, weeks now. If nothing there, we'll go on to the treasury bond market, which is starting to show its hand here on, you know, after having rallied for several weeks off the forecast March 19th weekly bottom. Nothing new to add to that. the euro. We talked about the euro yesterday or the day before. Somebody asked a question about the euro, and I said that if you're gonna, you could go. I was viewing April 23rd as a bottom, and that you could buy the euro for at least about 40 ticks up, at least for your first initial exit. And the market had been trading about 1320 at that time. Today, the market made a high of, I'm putting the handle in wrong. It's 132 they were trading at, and today they made a high at 132.39, just a tick off of what we were talking about for the person who had asked the question about, you know, what should we do with the euro at this point. And we just generally speaking, thought that the market should go higher for at least a little bit here based on what they did on April 23rd. So that has pretty much done what we were hoping to see it would do there. Nothing else on the euro right now. We talked about silver. The crude oil market is starting to move a little bit here, but is still very, very quiet. We do have a roadmap out on the crude oil market, but the market has not yet confirmed that. But keep an eye on crude because I think it's aggressive, and I mentioned this to somebody today, I think it's aggressive to take the crude trade now. Aggressive can be very good. It can work out. But just understand that it is aggressive because it has not confirmed as of yet. There's a weekly bottom that we had forecast in crude. That bottom was due reflected wave the week of April 2nd. It came 1 week late. It's slightly lower prices on the week of April 9th. And we're in the process right now. We're in the second week off that reflected wave bottom of going sideways to higher. Generally speaking, you don't want to short the market against a bottom. So, a known bottom. So, we're expecting, you know, a bit of an advance here off of this, and then we'll see how the market acts. I think from that point forward, any break of the weekly low or the 99.70 that we talked about would be the earliest indication for less aggressive people to take advantage of the upcoming crash move that we're talking about in the crude oil market. So use caution if you're going to be aggressive. You know, use caution doing so. Don't throw caution to the wind, because sometimes the wind blows it right back in your face. It's no fun. I think that covers just about everything for right now, Dwayne, that we have. The most important thing is that silver and gold are trying to show their hand and continuing to on the downside. And then the S&P has some interesting stuff going on as well with regard to the weekly, and it's starting to confirm, and this helps our idea that we should have a multi-week advance. And it more confirms it, you know, the weekly reflected wave bottom. So there you are.
Okay, well. So if I take away the president and Texas.
Yeah, then that's what you get. You get like 10 minutes out of me.
This is it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole program. That's our show. Good night.
Hey, there was a question here. Let's see. Who's that from? David was going to take a look at the ETF GDXJ.
I completely forgot that. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, give it to me one more time.
GDXJ.
GDXJ. Let's take a look at it. Why don't you put it up on your chart as well, Dwayne?
I don't have access to an ETF.
Oh,
this is a futures platform.
Well, let me ask the listener or the person asking the question, what would you like me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you that it's really bullish, or do you want me to tell you that it's really bearish? I'll do whatever you want. Just joking.
I think he probably just wants to know what you think.
I know. Just being playful there. I had forgotten to look at this. This is first of all, for anybody who can see this, I'm assuming this is the Junior Gold Mine. Mines ETF.
It is.
And
is it. Mm-hmm.
They've been going down for a couple of years from really, really high prices. Just to give you an example, if you don't have the screen up there, it made a high back in December of 10 up at $44.86. It's now trading at $22. It's really cut its price in half. And so that's a pretty sizable move. And this is all while, by the way, all while gold had been rallying. The actual gold itself had been rallying from that period, and this thing had been going down. Its rallies were lower highs in a downtrend, while gold was, you know, busy making new highs from 2010, certainly, forward. I don't have a lot to tell you. What I will say is that the $22 level, the level that we're effectively trading right now, I'd like to see the week, you know, today's Wednesday, so Thursday and Friday, if we close above $22, I would like to say that that's short-term a stronger position and the earliest confirmation for a bounce in this very bearish instrument, because it is bearish because it's been going down while gold has been going up. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing the reflected wave tops and bottoms, et cetera. The first thing I'd like to say before doing any other work on it is that if we do close the week above $22 by more than a few ticks, you know, then I'm going to be thinking that it's more bullish than bearish short term, on a short term meaning roughly on a weekly basis, that we're going to see further, you know, the potential for an advance here short term. So that's about the only thing I can throw at you with it just now, having not done any roadmap or anything else type of work on there. Was there one other thing that somebody had mentioned, or was that it?
There was one other thing. let's see. Alan had asked if you would look at CBR.
Well, there was CBR. There used to be a Honda motorcycle called the CBR, I think. Let's take a look at CBR. I just love the idea of just having a radio program. We just ask people what they want to hear. Would you like me to tell you it's bullish? Yeah, I'm hoping it's bullish. Okay, yeah, it's looking good. You know, just telling people exactly what they want to hear. This is another stock that has you know, started up very, very high. Again, back in 1998, it was up at $40.88. Recently, just 3 years ago, made a bottom at $2. Think about that. That's like 98% of its value or whatever, some very, very huge loss that this thing has taken. I don't know what they do. It's Cyber Inc. I don't know what they do, but they may not be doing it that well, huh? Considering their stock price. Let's see here. Let me just take a moment with it here and take a look at a few different levels here. Okay, so this market made a bottom recently. This is, again, this is just reflected wave of bottom in September. They've advanced off that, and they're reacting off of a weekly top that they made on, this is reflected wave, on June 30th, the week of June 30th, or Jan 30th, I'm sorry, January 30th of 2012 was a weekly top, and they're selling off from that. Now, the sell-off from that has not been at all bad, considering where the stock has been. It's been sideways, and the market has stayed pretty tightly within a range here. So, you know, it isn't in terrible shape just at the moment, other than the fact that it's, you know, at very, very low prices. But I'm not sure that I would be bullish or bearish on this if I could take the position of saying I'm somewhat neutral on the stock because of its behavior here. A weekly close for me above $4.40 for me would be the earliest indication for firming up and higher prices and an advance to you know, higher levels. As it sits right now, it's very nondescript, maybe even $4.50. Let's say that. Let's use $4.50. So as long as they're below $4.50, I tend to be neutral but not really bearish. So above $4.50, I tend to be bullish slash neutral, but I would actually I would lean on the bullish side above $4.50. They're trading at $4.19 right now. It's not that far off. But this is a stock that has gone sideways for like 12 weeks. Very, very quiet movement. Again, above $4.50, especially a weekly close above $4.50 would be bullish for me. So if I was short the stock, weekly closes above $4.50 would make me want to get out of my short position. If I was flat, I would tend to want to potentially get long for some type of a move off of this you know, bounce that they're having off the lows here. I think that's all I can say about this without having roadmap and other things set up on it. That's just a very general, you know, outlook for this stock. I hope that's a little helpful. I don't want to give out too much and guess at things. I want to just tell you what it is I know. With some certainty, this week that we're in right now has a possibility, this is not reflected wave, but this week has a possibility of being a bottom in the market. So that I'm tying that together with the S&P, even though this is not in the S&P index. So keep that in mind as well, that that's at a cursory glance of this, that's essentially what I'm thinking here. So there you are, Duane.
Okay.
I hope that helps, Alan. You let me know.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. So let's see. We're quiet in the S&P right now. I thought we might have a roadmap on the S&P today, an hourly roadmap, and I don't think we do. If we did, I would have mentioned it. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see here. But basically, we've advanced off this bottom that we made earlier, and we're retesting or are attempting to retest some of the highs today. So, yeah, we're flat right now. I think you're probably not. You're not in the markets right now, Duane, are you?
Nope. No, we're waiting for all this Fed stuff to blow through.
Yeah.
There's still more meetings to come. And
yeah. I heard Michael say that he's just saying to stay on the sidelines. With as many meetings and things like that are happening today, it does add another component to the trading. So you might want to be extra careful, even if you do trade. Just be very careful with positioning and have stops and honor them. Let the market hit them and take you out, because that's a good thing. There's all kinds of people that bought homes and other things that they couldn't get out of them. they, even if they had a stop, they couldn't get out of their home, and they had to sit while the thing just went down in value. The market gives you a mechanism by which you can get out of a bad position. Most of the time, life doesn't do that. I have an old saying, which is, trouble never costs $1,800. Now, let me tell you where that comes from. Trouble never costs $1,800. What does that mean? Well, $1,800 is enough money to kind of make you go, ouch, a little bit, but it's not going to break you, and it's not going to put you out of business. But if you could pay $1,800 to forestall some other trouble from happening, you certainly would be happy to pay the $1,800. And the reason you'd be happy to pay is because the trouble that you would be stopping would cost an awful lot more than $1,800. If, you know, it's like you get into some problem that you should have solved, and suddenly now here comes the bill for it, and it's $10,000. You think, God, if I would have done the right thing, we've all done this, you know, if I would have done the right thing and just paid the $1,800 back then this whole thing wouldn't have happened. And trouble never costs $1,800. Trouble costs $10,000, $20,000, and $30,000. That's what trouble costs. But it never costs $1,800. So that's where that saying comes from. I think it's kind of a cute little saying, and it has a lot of truth in it.
I like it.
So what? Yeah. So yeah, if you find yourself, you know, in a position where you could have done something to protect yourself, you can go look back. How many times have you seen this? You can say, yeah, it would have cost me $500 to have solved this back then, and now look, I have to pay this much or whatever. And so, trouble never costs $1,800 is a line that I've, you know, in my personal life that I've used a lot. And I don't have to use it as much as I used to because I purposely go out of my way to try to see if something can be solved now before it becomes a problem later. And if it happens to cost $1,800, that's reasonable because trouble never costs $1,800. And there you are.
Dan wanted to know if you had anything on soybeans.
Soybeans, we talked about, and we'll talk about it now. Soybeans are, we're looking for soybeans to, we have a month top that's due in the month of April. Soybeans is above a level that, this is just a preference. We would prefer to see soybeans close below $14.50, at or below $14.56. We're above that now. We're at $14.73, so they have moved up decently from there. Before I'm going to do anything with soybeans, I'm going to wait for the month of April to close out, which we only have about a week more for that to happen. So I'm interested in this market, where we are on that date. We did move through some important levels. Obviously, here we're moving above some important levels, but the 1456. But if we close at or below that, I'm going to be on the program, and we may have a roadmap for this as well. So I don't have a whole lot to add to it because this is really a big enough picture where I want to wait for the month of April to close. So,
you can
ask into next week. I wish I could be more interesting and fascinating, but Dwayne clipped my wings today.
Bruce had another question. Can David talk about Messenger Pro on the 5th? A bottom was forecast, and on the 19th, a top was called. Wonder if he can speak about it.
Let's see. Talking about the S&P, the 5th. Of April, he's talking about?
He didn't say. Bruce, I'm assuming you're talking about April.
He must be talking about the 5th of April.
Yeah.
And on the one day late, from what I'm looking at here, the market had set up a weekly bottom. So this is something in reflected wave that the market had set up a weekly bottom. And that's the weekly bottom, by the way. In fact, let's go back. It was the... Let me double-check this so I have it in front of me. Yeah, it was the April 5th bottom that one day late had moved down and set a weekly bottom into motion. And that weekly bottom is the one that was due on the week of April, the week of April 16th. So what that means is that the daily bottom was overwritten. In other words, it's the largest time frame that a top or a bottom that's being put in on, that's the most important. That's one of the tenets of reflected wave, that the largest time frame that a top or bottom is being put in on, that's the one that is of most importance. And so in this particular case, it's really a weekly bottom that was being put in, and that weekly bottom is now in, as far as we're concerned. What was the other date that he said? He had mentioned
the night that you forecast a top for the 19th.
The 19th. Okay, and what, I don't know what the question was about that, but
he just said you had forecast a bottom for the. I'll read exactly what it says.
Okay.
Can David talk about Page Trader? On the 5th, a bottom was forecast, and on the 19th, a top was called.
Yes.
Wonder if he can speak about it. Is
the
there
top
something
on the
19th.
Particular,
Bruce, that you wanted him to speak about?
Yeah, while he's typing that, if he has it, the top on the 19th was just an ordinary top. This is one of the things about reflected wave that is very, very useful. We use it all the time, is that we had a downtrend underway. There was the potential for lower prices. The market advanced and put in a top on the 19th. I don't have the thing in front of me, but then we had a multi-day decline off the 19th. The 19th made a high at about 1390. And then made the recent, swung all the way down to the recent low of 1354. So we did have a nice, you know, nearly 40-point decline off of the top that was made on the 19th. This is reflected wave. And then now we're heading higher, of course, into the, you know, for further confirmation of the weekly bottom. So if he has a question regarding the 19th, other than that,
okay, here's what he said. Well, daily bottom on the 5th did not pan out. At least the 19th.
That's correct. It led into the weekly,
but it's back up over it.
Okay, well that's
it's not back up over it yet. On maybe on a intraday chart. This is a Globex chart, so
yeah, it isn't back over it yet. That's true. It has not yet moved back above it. If you consider that to be important, for me, I'm not concerned about it moving back above it because the weekly bottom is a force to be reckoned with, and the market ultimately is going to get above that. That's where it's headed. So as far as we're concerned, the April the bottom on April 5th and 6th, that actually moved. That actually set up that low. Actually itself set up a larger bottom in reflected wave. Due on the week of April 16th, and that's the bottom that actually is the largest bottom that was set up for this time frame.
Okay,
so
I see
that's
what
the one we're
talking about right here. This is April 5th, right here.
That is correct.
Right there.
And then after that, we had the subsequent top on the 19th, which
would be right there.
And that's
there.
The one where we had the decline that led into this advance that we have right now. And this advance is because we're running out of time on the weekly chart. I believe the week, because we're past, you know, 2 days from now, we're past the 1 week late.
So the fact that this wasn't a bottom, does that become what you call an inversion?
No, reflected wave doesn't have an inversion. It just wasn't the largest time frame that was set up. The largest time frame that was set up for a bottom, which we didn't recognize at the time, was a weekly and not a daily. So the weekly being the larger is what rules. So the largest time frame is what rules in reflected wave. In this particular case, the largest time frame is a weekly bottom. So that is now what rules the market. You know, that bottom's obviously been put in, and that's a force to be reckoned with on the upside. That's why I'm saying that with 2 days left in this week, this is 1 week late, we are expecting continued advance off of this bottom. And so our first number on the upside of importance is the 1394 level. That's just a target, a normal target that we would trade to, and then potentially higher. Now, all of this is inside the March top, the monthly top. So the two biggest things that are of importance here are the monthly top that was forecast for March and the weekly bottom that was for April 16th. Those are the two largest things that are happening right now. And so we do have to be very conscious of the fact that under normal conditions, a monthly top would mean a multi-month decline, sideways to lower. And so this advance off the weekly chart is going to be very important. How they handle this advance is going to be very important. And we're going to talk about that next week, because if the market handles it in a manner that would indicate weakness, then that's going to indicate short positions.
Okay, Bruce says, I was looking at the close for the 19th, which today price is now back over that. So should he be looking at closing price or?
So should he be looking for what now?
price closed down here on the 19th.
And he's saying we're above that close.
But see, I don't know if you're talking about the Globex. This here is the midnight close. Or no, I'm on a daily chart here. This is a Globex 24-hour chart. I don't know what... Are you looking at a continuous chart, a Globex chart, Bruce? But anyway, he's saying that the closing price for the 19th, we're now back above that price.
Okay. Well, I don't know that I have any comment to that. I mean, if that's something that he uses...
No, I think he's asking if that's what you use or how he should be... If he needs to be concerned with the price at the close or if it's an overnight price or... I think he's just trying to figure it out.
Okay. To figure what out, though?
Okay.
That's the problem.
Like, I'm out. It sounds like he's short. That might be it, and he might be asking, what do I do? Because we're back above that level.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that's the case or not for him, but if that is the case...
what would you do?
Okay, first things first. The largest time frame rules. The reflected wave weekly bottom is in. We're 2 days away from the 1 week late. So even if we were to get a pullback from here, we expect no closes below the low that we made, and I would not want to be in a position, I would not want to be holding on to a short position with that type of backdrop. I would be looking to buy pullbacks for higher prices.
And that's now, because the weekly is trumping the daily, because we have a weak bottom here.
That's correct. We had a daily top on the 19th, as he said. They've sold off from that. They attempted to break to new lows. They couldn't. We've got this advance underway now, and all of this pushes the window of the plus or minus 1 unit at a time out to the edge. And so I hope he's not in a short position, but I want to tell you this. What I hope doesn't really matter. What is important is that you're careful with these positions and allow yourself the freedom to be wrong if you have to be. Now, having said that, I do want to say a couple things. This is just, I almost hesitate to say this, but let me say it. This 1386 and 1387 level that we reached today, this is pretty important. It's the highest level that we have for today. It's not a guarantee that the market's not going to go higher than that, but as a general rule, it means that we don't expect it to. So we've touched that already. So that would mean that we're putting in a top potentially at this level short term. That's what that means. So you could expect some reversal from the high that we made today. However, I also want to say that a weekly bottom is a very powerful force, and I would not be comfortable waiting around for substantially lower prices. I hope you get them if you're short, but I would utilize that 87 and 88 level that we talked about earlier.
He's a Messenger Pro client, so he's going to call you. He says, I'm just trying to figure out how to trade the daily forecast turning points and how to recognize when there's a failure.
Please give us a call. We'll talk about it.
He says he'll call you because he just wants to – he doesn't have any money on this particular trade. He's just trying to figure out how to trade the call.
Okay. Yeah, and I do talk to people. I just want to say I do talk to people from time to time that are stuck in positions, and we'll do the best we can to tell them what the market, you know, where we could expect some pullback if there's an intraday reflected wave high or bottom or whatever. But in the end, you have to get out of the habit. I'm not speaking to Bruce now. I'm just speaking to anybody. You have to get out of the bad habit of allowing yourself to allow positions to run beyond where they should and then looking to the next turning point or your next indication to hopefully save you. That's not good, and that's not responsible trading. You may have to do that at some point, and that's fine, but not as a practice, not as an everyday practice to do that. That's not good. That will cause you grief, and you'll end up, you know, hurting yourself in your account. And this is we're doing this not to be tortured. We're doing this to have a nice time investing in the markets and putting on trades and dealing with the realities of the market. The realities of the market require us sometimes to take a losing position and to have to take a loss. And we try to keep those small and reasonable. Once in a while, things happen. It happens to us. Believe me, you can be in this for a long time and still do things incorrectly. But one wrong position held because you're just not in the mood to take it, that can and ultimately will be the one that runs and just never stops. That's how people get wiped out. And I'm too interested in staying in the game and being clear-headed to allow that to happen. Unless it's just a sheer accident. And even then, I will want to be out because I'm missing opportunities. I'm missing my clean psychology by holding on and worrying and trying to find the next indication that's going to turn the market to hopefully let me out and all that stuff. That's just junior high stuff. So, and again, I'm not addressing Bruce because he's not in the market, but I'm just saying this is something we've talked about for years on the program. You have to get past that kind of thinking to do well in the markets. Anybody can make a winning trade, but can you be in it for a year and do a year's worth of good work? Because that's gonna be the kind of proof that I'm looking for. If I was going to hire a trader, I want to see what he does under a wide number of conditions. And I understand that he's going to have some mistakes in there, like anybody will. But I want to see the general theme of him doing the right thing over and over again. That's the guy I want trading for me. If you show me a guy that says I can make you a 30% a year, but I don't always do the right thing, and sometimes it really works out for me that I don't, and you show me a guy that pretty much almost, 85% of the time does the right thing, 90% of the time does the right thing, and he only makes 15% a year, who do you think I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with 15. I'm going to go with less money with more certainty. That's who I'm going to go with. And in the end, I'm going to be the turtle that walks right by you. And, ends up ahead. It just works out that way, especially in trading. Remember that. Go pick up the story of the turtle and the hare and be the turtle. And there you go.
Mark asks, since there's a weekly bottom end, does reflected wave have a weekly top currently forecasted in the S&P indicating when this move off the bottom might end?
We don't, and it's actually, if you have the turning point, if you have the turning point calendar, which is in Messenger Pro, that will be updated with any reflected wave top or bottom that's coming in that product. So you're more than welcome to, if you're in Messenger Pro, you can check into it and take a look at it. There's nothing in there right now, but when there is a forecast, they will put it in the turning point calendar. So the last turning point, the most recent one on reflected wave, was the top on the 19th. So there you are.
Okay.
And I hope Bruce gives me a call because I'd like to help him put that together and utilize what we do in this particular style of trading the best that he can do. I also want you to keep an eye, as we talked about, this weekend next coming for both gold and silver, because we have a big thing setting up for that, a big reversal setting up for that. And this will be something that we can all potentially put a nice trade together with. We'll continue to talk about that day by day into next week.
Dan wants to know, Dan, is it possible for the weekly to blow past the monthly?
It's possible, but unlikely. As I mentioned yesterday, the monthly top of March is important. March did close strong. The previous month before March closed strong. And our larger forecast is for higher prices, ultimately 1434 up to 14, and then 1465, et cetera. We've talked about that. But generally speaking, you would expect the market to go sideways to lower for a couple of months off of a monthly top. Now, right now, interestingly enough, since March was the on-time date, we're now, April is the 1 month late. So this puts the market at a critical juncture on the upside, in spite of the weekly bottom. So is it possible? Yes, the market's as big as life and anything's possible, but the high probabilities are really in favor of a couple of months anyway of sideways to lower. We've already had 1 month of that off the March top. We've had a 70 point decline off the S&P. And, it's interesting because the market is showing internal strength. As I mentioned the other day, the fact is that if they can't touch 1347, and they haven't been able to, that is a sign of a lot of bullish buying pressure in the market. And that pressure shows itself in advance by the market not being able to touch natural levels. So in this particular case, the market is still in a very strong position. Even while it was going down, you know, down looks like weak, but down that doesn't touch 1347 after 2.5 weeks, that's strong. That means there's buying pressure in the market. So there's, you know, it's somewhat of a mixed bag, but I just rely, when I use reflective wave, I just rely on it the way it normally works, which is there's a monthly top and there's a weekly bottom. The weekly bottom, when the monthly top came in, it sends the prices down. When the weekly bottom comes in, it sends the prices back up. Monthly is stronger than weekly, and in the vast majority of cases, that means the market's going to have to express some time at these levels, sideways to lower off the monthly chart.
So Dan says, so technically you'd be looking for a reflected wave daily to go short again.
Yes, that would be correct. We would take a daily top here to short the market. I might even take other indications as well from reflected wave, depending on how the market got up and how it acted after. Because remember, we talked about the 94 target on the upside. How the market handles that target will be important for us as well. So I don't know if he's in our Messenger Pro, but if he is, he can take a look at the daily turning point calendar because we will put those turns there.
All righty. Very good.
So, and if he has any further questions, you guys are welcome to call. Even if you're not a Messenger Pro subscriber, whatever, just give us a call and I'll go over it with you. I do want to remind people that we do have a seminar coming up on June 23rd and 24th for Reflected Wave. If you have questions about it, you're more than welcome to give us a call at 888-231-4702. We will very happily answer questions about Reflected Wave. Nobody will hard sell you. This is for people who know what they're looking for and want to solve the turning point puzzle in a completely automated way with regard to the markets. And it works beautifully. I've demonstrated it thousands of times on this program over the last 7 years. I mean, we've given out so many turning points, I can't remember all of them. I certainly haven't recorded them. But Dwayne has them all on his archives. And, you know, these turns can be used. No one can promise you that you can make money. It's actually against the law to do that, but I can promise you that you will know how to call the turn, and then your work and will help you is to pull that information into your current trading strategy and start putting that to work. We utilize it. We showed our statement, you know, our full year statement yesterday. For those of you that weren't there, from May of last year, this is all puts and calls in the market, just options, selling, not buying. We basically took all the longer-term indications. We're going to continue to do it, taking the longer-term, bigger indications in the S&P, and then we spread that risk, and we went to other markets, other stocks, and things like that that were also bottoming or topping, and we just sold call or put premium. And we've booked, as of Friday of last week, this last Friday, the 20th, whatever it was, $107,000 just in that one fashion of trading, just with puts and calls, against larger tops and bottoms, and then looking for other stocks that are in the same position. So today's example with Apple is a beautiful example. And we're in Apple. We're, you'll see this one in our next statement, where Apple had a weekly bottom, and so did the reflected wave on the S&P. And so the stock, Apple, might pop a whole lot more than the S&P will. That's one of those runners, and it did. It had a really nice move up, and that means that the puts that we sold are going to be worth a lot less. That's good for us. It sounds backwards, but the less they're worth, the more we make. So that's the technique, and I encourage people to look at that because it'll allow you the free time, because you're not watching for tick for tick. It'll allow you the free time to do what traders really do, which is boating, fishing, skiing, hiking,
talking on the
other
radio.
Activities like that. Right. If you read the magazines, that's what it shows that traders do. Go ahead.
Oh, we're good. Thanks, David.
Okay. All right, Dwayne, thank you guys for the questions. I really appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. You too, Dwayne. See you.
I didn't notice.
Guys, that's going to do it. Wrapping it up. Take the free trial. Go to CFRN.net. Right there on the home page, it'll say start the trial. Click it and go. It'll take you to a page. Ultimately, you'll wind up at CFRN.net/apply. All right. Your name, your email address, no credit card required. Don't need your mother's maiden name, the street you grew up on, or your first pet. We don't need any of that. Okay? So give us a name and an email address. Now, here's what will happen. You'll get a confirmation email because we do a double opt-in process. We don't believe in spam. We hate it just as much as you do. Within 5 minutes, if you don't have the confirmation email, there's a problem. Now, it may end up in your spam folder or your bulk folder or any other kind of mystery folder you have in your email client. So go look there first. If you still can't find it, call Bert Schlichter toll-free, 866-928-3310, or email me support@CFRN.net. We'll figure out what the glitch is, because you've got to click the link in that email to set the whole thing in process. Once you click that link, you're going to get another email. It's going to have the link and the password to get you into the live trading room. It's going to have the link that allows you to download the platform complete with charts, indicators, live data for all the futures markets, and the Forex currency pairs. You're going to have access to the platform, the data, the charts for a full week, 5 consecutive trading days in the live trading room. If you take the free trial today, get signed up today, Bert will help you this afternoon to make sure your charts are set up, your data's flowing, your indicators are indicating, all of that good stuff. He'll do it by phone, toll-free, 866-928-3310. The phone number's on our website. If need be, he will launch a private go-to meeting with you to make sure you've got it set up properly. You'll then have tonight to experiment with the platform, experiment with the data and the indicators, and then you'll be ready for the live trading room tomorrow morning. Tomorrow's Thursday, then Friday, then you'll have the whole weekend to use the platform, and then you'll still have another 3 full days in the live trading room next week. If your free trial is about to expire, then you want to become a partner to set that in motion. Send an email to support@CFRN.net. Just spell it out. I've seen enough. I'm ready. I want to be a part of a community of believers who trade for a living. I want to do business with Burton Schlichter and Leslie Burton over Daniels Trading. I'm good to go. Sign me up. We'll send you the paperwork and we'll make sure that you are in the partners meeting tomorrow night. Partners only. You got to get the paperwork done. Thanks for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.